Romans 13 tonight. Romans 13. Apologize to those on the video. Starting a little late on the video. We were here just reading some prayer letters and things I didn't want to put out for everybody else to hear. They asked that we keep those quiet, so I'm going to follow their wishes. Protect our missionaries. But Romans 13, I'm going to get started preaching. If you'll stand, would you find your place there? Romans 13. It says Romans 13, verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I'm trying a different mic tonight. Hopefully this one works. Brother Bud had called me and told me our other mic was not working. It sounded terrible on the sermon audio. Didn't use the exact words, but basically. So hopefully, Brother Bud, if you're listening tomorrow, you can actually hear what I'm saying this time. I had all intentions on preaching at James tonight. I was planning to close out chapter number 3 with the study on in wisdom. We'd study the Christian life and his behavior. Last time we looked at the tongue, those words. I was planning on preaching on the wisdom tonight, the last part of that chapter. And I spent some time studying that passage, and that's where I was planning on going. And I just couldn't get any peace about it. And then Natalie shows up. She comes back home from the grocery store, and she tells me all about everything went on there. The Lord started convicting me. Thanks a lot for that. She's actually doing what she's supposed to be doing, what I'm supposed to be doing as well, and it convicted me. And I just started thinking about that. I started searching my own heart, and the Lord reminded me of why I'm here and what I'm supposed to be doing. And this coronavirus, this quarantine stuff, has made us lazy, I believe. Maybe it's just me. I'm afraid we've used this quarantine as this social distancing as an excuse to hide, excuse to keep our mouths shut. The Lord hasn't called us to hide away from this world. The Lord hasn't called us to quarantine ourselves from society. And I understand the sicknesses and things that have been here. The Lord doesn't call us to hide away for forever. We are to be different from the world, yes. But we are not to hide from the world. I've preached over and over again there in Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore. We've preached that many times before. I'm going to focus tonight on this verse number 13 here in this chapter 13, verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I believe it's high time that we wake up. It's time to wake up and get back to work. I preached last Wednesday on not letting this virus get you out of church. I taught it, don't quit now. That didn't go over too well then, but I guess I'm kind of on the same lines tonight again. It's time to wake up. I believe this virus has given our flesh an excuse. We've been looking to hide away, not only from the church, like I preached on before, but from witnessing, from the Great Commission, to keep quiet about the Lord and the things of God. This world, maybe now more than ever, especially right now, needs someone with a voice of peace, a voice of hope. They need the gospel now, maybe more than ever, and they'll not hear it unless you go tell them. They'll not know unless we go. It says in Luke 21:28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's time we lift up our heads. Wake up. Get your head up. I believe it's one of the saddest verses we can read there, verse 28. The Lord has to tell us to lift up our heads because he's coming back to get us. He has to remind us to pick our heads up because our redemption draweth nigh. Why does he do that? Apparently, we've got our heads down. We're sleeping. We're looking down, not doing what we're supposed to do. I believe it's time we wake up. It's time to get back to work. I'm going to go through a few different passages tonight here in the scriptures. Normally on Wednesday, I know it's a little different than normal. I like to preach on expository message and chapter and verse by verse. And tonight, the Lord's directing me to do a little different direction. It's to be topical and not any less biblical, but just a different idea than I normally preach on a Wednesday. I'm going to go through, look at a few different passages in the New Testament on some examples of when men and the church were sleeping or when they were waking up, when they needed to be waking up. And try to look at this New Testament, see what we can learn from that tonight. Go ahead and clear this up as well. When I say sleeping, it could be literal sleep, and we probably do a little bit too much of that as well. I'm also referring to be distracted, spiritually asleep, having your mind on everything but except what the Lord would have you to do. I've done this a lot myself here lately, especially I have my mind on different things and all different things of life and business and we're trying to purchase that land, all these different things in your mind, get your mind distracted from the real priorities of what we should be doing with our life. If you're not careful, you can go fall asleep on the things of the Lord. Many people here on our island have been falling asleep because it's fishing season. The kings are in, so the gospel's out. And put that on the sign. The weather is good, so the church can take a back seat. I'm just being honest with you here. Not all those things are bad things. I like catching king salmon as much as anybody else does. I like eating them even more like catching them. Don't fall asleep on the things of God. Look at some of these biblical examples tonight. Before I do that, I'm going to turn this fan on because I'm about to roast up here. Sorry, I know that's not very dignified, but it's better than dripping sweat up here. Number one, the first example we're going to look at, we'll go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, hold your place in Romans 13, we'll be back. Luke chapter 22. It says in Luke 22, verse number 39. Number one, the first time they're sleeping, and we should be praying. Verse number 39, it says, and he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. He said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. I believe there's a great application here that we can all take and learn from. We know the story here. Jesus is getting close to this time of the crucifixion. They've had their last supper. Judas has left and began the process betraying Jesus. Jesus grabs some of his disciples, couple of them, he heads into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. He tells them to stop and to pray there. He went a little bit further and prayed a little more. He comes back and his disciples are sleeping on him. You know that story. You've heard it many times before. He asked them to pray and they fell asleep. Jesus, the very Son of God, only begotten of God, asked these men to pray and they fell asleep. I would be scared to be them, be in their shoes. If they can do that, when the very Son of God in person asked them to pray for him, if they can do that, what makes you think we can't fall asleep on the Lord? Sure we can. It definitely can happen to us as well. It happens all the time. They fell asleep on the Lord. I wonder how many of us are sleeping and we should be praying. How often have we become distracted and have been kept from praying? We were out camping Sunday night, and through yesterday I realized something. I realized how peaceful it is when this phone there, I don't have it with me, is not buzzing and vibrating and making noise all day long. Figure out how peaceful it is and learn how much of a distraction it really is. And I try to use it for good things. I talk to a lot of you on it. I use it for work and many different things. It's a distraction. We have distractions all around us. Even good things sometimes can be distracting. How easy it is for us to become distracted with the things of life and fall asleep on the Lord when we should be praying. One of the easiest things for me to do is get distracted from is my prayer time. I'll be honest with you, my mind is always busy. I'm always thinking about the next thing and trying to get to the next thing. It's easier for me to fall asleep when I should be praying. Jesus has taught us to pray. He studied Jesus. You want to get convicted about your prayer life, study Jesus' prayer life. It's recorded about 25 to 30 times, just recorded in instances in the Gospels when he prayed. And that's not repeats in the guys, 25, 30 times in each Gospel. Many different times, multiple times he's prayed, multiple times in each Gospel. And that's just what we have recorded. He prayed before miracles we can read about. He prayed before meals. We can read about those. He's seen praying in the morning time. He's seen praying at nighttime. He's been seen praying all night long in the Gospels. He's seen praying in public. He's seen praying in private. Over and over again, he's taught us to pray. He gave us an example of how to pray. And what are we doing today? Often sleeping, we should be praying. Distracted, we should be praying. Worrying, we should be praying. Anybody like that here tonight? Anybody been distracted lately? Maybe it's just me. I don't know. If Satan can disrupt your prayer life, he can do a lot of things. He can ruin a lot of things. I preach Sunday morning on praying mamas, and we need those. We need some praying daddies. We need some praying teenagers and some praying single adults and some praying grandma and grandpas. We need some praying church members. We need some praying soul winners. We get distracted by many things of life. We're distracted by our jobs and our goals and our entertainment and our friends and our little girls that won't shut their mouth and our irresponsibilities. Y'all listen to me. We are distracted by our flesh and our sin nature, our corrupt old man. We're distracted. We're falling asleep on the Lord when we should be busy at work. We're distracted by all these things. If we're not careful, we can be asleep and we should be praying. And I tell you tonight, it's time to wake up, get busy, get back to praying. Says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It's time to wake up. They're sleeping when they should be praying. Number two, they're sleeping while God is working. Turn to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. It says in Acts 16, verse number 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And that's a great story. We love to read that story and preach on that story. We know it. A jailer who was saved because God was working through Paul and Silas, they were in prison. And the remaining, they remained when the gates were open. Notice that in verse number 25. It says, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I've never met Paul in person. I'm not that old. Some of you might be. Just from what we learned from his life, what we can read about his life, I don't think Paul was a very quiet man. Him and Silas were singing loud enough that the rest of the prisoners heard him. But it wasn't until the earthquake and the doors being swung wide open that the prisoner guard was finally woken up. He was asleep. He slept through Paul and Silas praying, slept through Paul and Silas singing. I don't know how everybody else woke up. He didn't wake up until the earthquake came. He was sleeping while God was working. Now, good for him, God continued to work, and he did wake up, and the Lord changed his life, thankfully for that. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear read that story. But before all this took place, this man was sleeping while God was working, while God was moving and working. Two men had just been beaten. Paul and Silas had been beaten and thrown in a nasty pit of prison, shackles on them, no doubt sitting in some nasty, putrid, disgusting prison cell. They began to pray to the Lord, and they began to sing praises, and they were reminded how great God is, and they sing praises to God in the midst of this nasty, dark, disgusting situation they found themselves in. What has happened? God is working, moving in their hearts. God is starting to stir his men and get their hearts prepared for service again. I don't know what all God is doing in this coronavirus. I don't know the purpose behind all of it. I don't understand all of it. I don't have a reason to give you. I wish I did. I don't. But I do know that God knows. He has it under control. I believe he has a purpose for it. I don't know what it is. I couldn't tell you. But I know he has a purpose. I believe God is starting to move. I believe he's pushing men to be more productive, to be more devoted than they've ever been before. I've heard of there's a church in South Carolina that I know of. And they've had a revival planned for a long time before this virus started. And they decided to go ahead and do the revival anyway. And they started with the parking lot services. And they went ahead and moved it inside the building instead. And then they got tired of that. And they just moved and continued to move everybody indoors. And despite the laws, they had revival anyway. And they're now in their fourth week of revival, and God is moving, and people are being saved, and lives are being changed in the midst of this virus. God is moving. God is working. They have live stream a prayer meeting every night. The church family, they pray together every night for this revival, something they've never done before. God's moving in their hearts. I believe the Lord is working behind the scenes. He's preparing hearts of his men. Some are starting to sing those praises unto God again. I wonder how many of us are asleep while God is working. God is moving. We're sleeping. We're too busy worried about the politics and the science behind all of this and the arguments on either side. We're too focused on everything the media is putting out. If we're not careful, we'll fall asleep while God is working. I believe he's going to do something here. I don't know. I believe he's moving his people. I believe God has a plan. Are you sleeping? You better wake up. God's working. He's sleeping while God is working. Number three. sleeping while the preacher is preaching. Acts 20, a couple chapters over. Verse number 9, I couldn't skip this one. How to get there. It says in verse number 9, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with his sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Good thing we have church on the bottom floor. And Paul went down and fell on him, embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. I couldn't preach on sleeping and not mention this sleeping here is in the Bible. It's right there beside where I was in, beside the passage that anyway. A man fell asleep while Paul was preaching. He fell out of the window, fell to his death because Paul preached.